Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, a complete recovery for Malka Bat Simcha, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Chazdai, Pesach Vansir, Harav Meir Kahana, Reuven Hoffman, Bari Hoffman, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, this, of course, was a very important week in terms of the history of the world and what will be happening to the world, and especially for America, for Israel, and for the Jewish people. First of all, it's now clear that Barack Hussein Obama will have enough votes to make sure that his Iranian nuclear bomb-making agreement goes through. Because even if the Congress passes a resolution against the agreement, Obama's going to veto that resolution, and you need a two-thirds majority to override his veto. He now has enough votes to prevent the overriding of his veto. So his Iranian nuclear bomb-making program, his Iranian nuclear bomb-making agreement, will now go through, unfortunately. And of course, this was all so predictable. As we have said from the start, and we're the only ones who said this from the start. We're the only ones who were consistent. There is no other solution to the danger of a nuclear Iran and to the fact that Iran is on its way to building hundreds of nuclear bombs, God forbid. There is no other solution other than airstrikes from the U.S. Air Force or from the Israeli Air Force. There is no other solution. So you can blame Bibi Netanyahu and AIPAC and the self-hating Judenrat leaders of Israel and the American Jewish community. You can blame them for the fact that they're leading the Jewish people to another Holocaust, God forbid, because that's where we're headed unless something happens to stop this. God forbid we are headed to a nuclear Holocaust, to the danger at least of a nuclear Holocaust. God forbid, let's hope that Hashem, that God miraculously has mercy on his people and prevents this. But we're headed toward the danger of a nuclear Holocaust now. Because make no mistake about it, Iran with hundreds of nuclear bombs, and then all the other Muslim countries in response building hundreds of nuclear bombs surrounding Israel, where every Muslim country is armed with a massive nuclear arsenal, that will lead to a nuclear Holocaust, God forbid. And of course, the danger to America is also very grave, because the same Muslim Nazi terrorists that want to destroy Israel also want to destroy America and also would love to nuke America. And so we're faced with a very bad situation here, and we're going to be exposing the fact. We're going to be giving you videos shortly. We've already prepared the videos. We haven't uploaded them yet, but we've already prepared videos in English and Hebrew exposing the fact that AIPAC, the so-called Jewish lobby, and Netanyahu and the Israeli government and all the Israeli politicians and all the Jewish leaders in America, with all the demonstrations they held and the tens of millions of dollars that they've spent. Have you seen all the television commercials they put out? They spent tens of millions of dollars trying to get senators to vote against this agreement and trying to build up opposition in Congress to this agreement. What a waste of money! What a joke! The issue is not a vote in the Senate or the House. That's not going to stop this. The only thing that can stop this are airstrikes. What an incredible waste of money. You give us that money and I guarantee you, we'll build a movement that will wake the people of America and Israel up. A movement that will ensure that there'll be enough pressure on the politicians to take out that Iranian nuclear bomb-making program once and for all. You give us 10% of the money that you wasted on this ridiculous campaign that you've already lost in trying to stop Obama's agreement in Congress. By the way, even if Obama's agreement was stopped, even if you were to stop Obama's agreement, which you've already failed to do, you're not going to stop it. But even if you were to stop his agreement with Iran, Iran will still build the nuclear bombs. There is no solution other than airstrikes that militarily destroy this bomb-making program. There is no other solution. We have a prime minister in Israel who is too chicken to do it. We have a Jewish people that are too dumb to see that their so-called right-wing leader is anything but right-wing and anything but a leader. And so we're headed toward disaster unless people wake up. And we're the only voice. We're the only voice out there that has said this for more than 20 years, that has warned about this for more than 20 years. We're the only voice of truth on this issue. In the Jewish community, certainly, we're the only voice of truth. And so, we know Netanyahu doesn't have the guts to do what has to be done. He's a hopeless case. We know that. So, we were hoping we could elect an American president who will have the American Air Force go in and do this to protect the people of America from a nuclear holocaust, because the people of America are threatened with a nuclear holocaust as well. And what do we have? We have a situation here in the United States where the one candidate who has taken the really appropriate position on this issue, who has really been great on this issue from day one and whom we can trust, I believe, to follow through, Ted Cruz, he's way behind in the polls, and he's being swallowed up like everybody else by Donald Trump, a complete phony. It's just unbelievable. And the news media is deliberately promoting Donald Trump, giving him wall-to-wall daily coverage, non-stop wall-to-wall daily coverage, because the media thinks that he would be a weak Republican candidate, and they think they could beat him. So they want him to get the Republican nomination because they figure in November, in the general election, they figure they'll really give it to him. They'll expose all his dirty deals. They'll expose all his bankruptcies. They'll expose his three marriages. They'll expose his adulterous affairs. They'll expose everything he's done. They'll expose Trump University. Do you know about Trump University? Where he opened the university, charged students, working class students, $35,000 to supposedly learn the secrets of how to be a successful businessman, and gave them nothing. Gave them nothing, and they're all suing him now, and there's a giant class action lawsuit against Trump for fraud. All of this, the media can't wait to expose this in a general election campaign against Trump, and they'd love to see him get the Republican nomination because they'd love to be able to throw all this at him because they know that their candidate, Hillary Clinton, is in a lot of trouble. So this is where we're at. This is the situation we're in. And Donald Trump on Iran is terrible. Donald Trump says he's not even going to rip up the agreement. Ted Cruz says he'll rip up the Obama agreement with Iran on day one. On day one of his getting elected, he'll rip up that agreement. Donald Trump says, no, we can't rip up the agreement. If you can't even rip up that agreement, you certainly are not going to send in the Air Force to bomb Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. That you're certainly not going to do. So Trump is just bad on this issue. Is Trump a lesser of the evils if he does get the nomination, God forbid, if he gets the nomination and he runs against Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders? Is he a lesser of the evils? Yes, he's a lesser of the evils. Yes, we would hold our nose and vote for Donald Trump if he were the Republican nominee. But it would be a very sad day, and it would not be good. It would be voting for the lesser of the evils, which is what we've done in every 4 years now. Voting for the lesser of the evils does not solve our problem. Because the lesser of the evils is still evil. Anyway, it's not over yet. We still hope that Ted Cruz can somehow pull this off. There are a few things coming up that maybe will give Ted Cruz a chance. He has a rally this Wednesday together with Donald Trump because he's trying to get some of the publicity that the media only gives to Trump. The media ignores everybody else. So Ted Cruz invited Donald Trump to a rally that he organized against the Iran nuclear deal. Ted Cruz invited Trump there, so Cruz and Trump are going to be speaking at this rally that Cruz organized in Washington against the deal. That's on Wednesday. Let's see what publicity, let's see what Cruz gets out of that. More importantly, we have the Planned Parenthood funding issue coming up in the Senate. Hopefully Ted Cruz will shut down the federal government and do whatever has to be done in order to defund that criminal, murderous organization, Planned Parenthood, that takes live babies out of women's wounds, out of a woman's womb, takes a live baby out in order to make sure that the organs are still good enough so that they can hand it over for research, and then sells the organ parts of these babies, of these fully formed babies, sells the organ parts to so-called research. And by the way, Dr. Ben Carson, who's number two in the polls behind Donald Trump, Dr. Ben Carson used the organs of baby parts, just like Planned Parenthood, in one of his research papers, in one of his studies. He used those organs of of babies, just like Planned Parenthood. Dr. Ben Carson is the same as Planned Parenthood. That phony Schwarzer pig. He says his goal is the same as Al Sharpton's, and all the Republicans and evangelical Christians and conservatives are supporting him. He's wonderful. He's such a great leader. He's a devout Christian. How stupid people are. How unbelievably stupid people are. We're going to do our best to expose all of this. I don't know if we'll succeed, but we're going to do our best. Anyway, in the Planned Parenthood defunding issue, if it does lead to a shutdown of the government, if you recall, the last time the government was shut down 2 years ago in 2013, Ted Cruz got massive publicity. So finally, the American people, I would hope, will be exposed to Ted Cruz if that happens. I hope he'll get massive coverage, and I hope it will lead to something. We'll see. We'll see if he can get something out of that. That could be a boost for him. Also, we have the debates coming up on September 16th. There's going to be another debate. We have the debates coming up. Obviously, Ted Cruz is a very good debater, and Donald Trump is not. Donald Trump is not a good debater at all. Anyway, even though he wins no matter what, even though he's incoherent, he mumbles, he says things that make no sense, no matter what question you ask him, he attacks the questioner. I mean, this is unbelievable. And still, you'll have 30% of the Republicans saying he won the debate, no matter what. If he went on that show using obscenities or doing something absolutely completely crazy, 30% would still say he won the debate. I mean, this is an unbelievable situation. Hopefully, eventually, something's going to happen to shake people out of this insanity. I don't know. But I'll tell you, the odds right now are against us. Right now, the odds are against us. We're going to try. We're going to do everything we can, but the odds are against us. And it's really a shame because Ted Cruz is the ideal candidate and would make a great president. So it's really a shame. We're going to try. We don't give up. We don't give up. Nobody's voted yet. The first votes are almost 5 months away, so you never know. But let's hope that voters in Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Nevada, the first four states, let's hope Ted Cruz can pick up some traction and can do well in those states. And so we're going to continue telling the truth. You're going to see us coming out with videos in English and in Hebrew. You're going to see us bringing the truth to you. You'll see it on the forum. You'll see it on our Facebook pages. You'll see it even on our great JTF from Mishmat created our Twitter page. You'll see it there. You see our videos. You're going to see our message. You're going to see us trying to wake people up both in Israel and in America. You'll see more of that this week, and you're going to see more of that in the upcoming months. Now, JTF can be very, very important. Very, very important in the presidential election, especially if something happens that looks more and more like it might happen in the election. JTF could play an important role in the actual American presidential election. You may wonder if presidential election, a nation of over 300 million people, and JTF with its meager budget is going to play a role. You never know. That could happen, especially if you have a self-hating Jew getting the Democrat nomination for president. I did a show a while ago, I don't know if you remember, I did an Ask JTF, and in my opening I mentioned that they were trying to convince Mike Bloomberg to run for the Democrat nomination for president. And I said if Bloomberg were to get the nomination, God forbid, then JTF would be important because JTF, as a Jewish organization, going against the first Jewish candidate to get a major party nomination, that could be a big thing. That could turn into a big thing. Well, it looks like more and more like it's possible. It's possible that Bernie Sanders could be the Democrat nominee for president. I mean, he's leading Hillary Clinton in New Hampshire. He's close to her now in Iowa. He's still far behind in states like South Carolina and the southern states. We have a lot of black voters. The black voters are too dumb and lazy to even know who Bernie Sanders is. They just know, oh, Hillary, I remember her. Oh, yeah, Hillary. So they're all still for Hillary Clinton. So she's way ahead in states like South Carolina and the southern states. We have large black votes. But that may change. You never know. When they find out that Bernie Sanders 1,000% supports the entire agenda of the black racists and the black anti-Semites, that this self-hating Jew will hand America over to the Zulus, when they find that out, you never know what'll happen. You never know You never know what that could lead to. So Bernie Sanders, I think it's possible he could win the Democrat nomination. I think it's possible. If that happens, then we, of course, have to do everything we can to defeat him. That would really be an unbelievable disaster, an unbelievable catastrophe. Can you imagine a Jewish communist president of the United States? Can you imagine? Who is so, and you talk about anti-Israel and a Jewish anti-Semite, it doesn't get worse than Bernie Sanders. I mean, you haven't seen us do anything to expose him or attack him yet, and we're not going to do it yet because I still think Hillary Clinton is the front runner. And if he's hurting her, I'm glad that he's hurting her. I'm going to let him do what he wants to do to hurt her. I don't want to go after him yet. But if he does get to first base and he does go on to win the nomination, then he becomes a very serious threat to us. And then you're going to see what we have on him. I mean, you talk about a Jewish anti-Semite. You talk about a self-hating Jew. You talk about someone who is anti-Israel. I mean, a real communist Israel hater. Bernie Sanders is an Israel hater, the lowest of the low. Supported Jesse Jackson for president, supports every Jew hater under the sun, is against Israel in every respect, wants Israel to commit national suicide. Just terrible on every possible issue. And you can imagine the anti-Semitism. You can imagine the antagonism. You can imagine how the American people will turn on the Jews after what Bernie Sanders would destroy America. You put him in the White House, a Jewish communist like that, you put him in the White House, that's the end of America. So you can imagine what will happen to the Jews. I mean, you'll see the American people turning on the Jews in a way that will make your head spin. So we could be a major force, and we could be an important element in this election if you have a Jewish candidate winning the Democrat nomination. If you have Bernie Sanders winning, God forbid, then we could be an important force because then it's a Jewish organization going against a self-hating Jew. That is already something that people will pay attention to. People will be curious about that, and people will pay attention to that. You'll also see, by the way, Israeli Jews overwhelmingly against Sanders. They'll see right away what he stands for, how anti-Israel he is. And Israeli Jews will be terrified of having him as president of the United States. So it'll be, it could make us a major factor in the campaign because we could be a major voice against him. Because you know that whenever they attack the Jewish candidate, one of the things that the Jewish leftists are going to say, they're going to accuse people attacking Sanders of anti-Semitism. They accuse people of anti-Semitism. These leftist Jews are the worst anti-Semites. These leftist Jews are the worst anti-Semites on the face of the earth. But they're going to accuse anyone who criticizes Sanders of being anti-Semitic. So that's why the role that we play could be important if that happens. And it's a possibility. It's a growing possibility. If you see the latest polls that came out, it is a possibility that Sanders could actually eventually win the nomination. There's a chance of that happening. I still think Clinton has an edge. I still think she has an edge over him. But I think Joe Biden might get in the race. You never know. Other people might get in. But the possibility that Sanders could get that nomination exists. It's not impossible. So we've got a lot of important things to do. We're facing a terrible, terrible, dangerous time. We've warned you about this for so long, and you see all the things we warned about coming true. Remember when we were fighting to stop Obama, when we tried to stop him from getting elected, and then in 2012 tried to stop him from getting reelected? Remember we warned you all this was going to happen? We warned you the tremendous danger this was going to pose. You remember that? I mean, if you were with us all these years, you know that we've been right. You know we've been right. And you know how important it is. What we're doing is important. I don't know if we're going to succeed. I don't know if we're going to succeed or we're going to fail. I don't know if we're going to be able to do what we tried to stop Obama from getting elected and reelected. We tried to do that. But for an organization like ours, that's quite a task. And we want to influence the presidential election again. We're taking on quite a task over here. So I don't know if we're going to how much of an impact we're going to have in the end. But I do think what we're saying is important. And I think it's important that there be a Jewish voice saying this, specifically a Jewish voice. There are Christians and Tea Party people and others supporting Ted Cruz and good people that are supporting Ted Cruz. You have that. But we need a Jewish voice added to that. We need Jewish voices that stand up for him because he is standing up for Israel. And we owe anyone who's a friend of ours, we owe them our support, and we should stand up for them. If they stand up for Israel and they stick their neck out for Israel, as Ted Cruz has been doing, we should show that that is something that we're going to stand with you. If you stand with Israel and you believe in God's commandments in the Bible, and you're doing what God says you should be doing in terms of backing God's program to bring the Jews back to the land of Israel, if you stand for that, and if you stand for morals, and if you stand for the right principles and the biblical principles, we as Jews have an obligation to stand for you. So the Jews and the righteous Gentiles of JTF have an obligation to do this. We can't be silent. We're not allowed to be silent. We have to be out there speaking. In Israel, thousands of Israeli Jews, of course, are being exposed all the time to our message. I think that's important too. I think it's important. It's not enough. It's not enough to stop Iran and to do the things that we want to do. We want to force Netanyahu to strike and destroy Iran's nuclear program. Thousands of people hearing our message is not enough to make that happen. But you never know. We're planting seeds for a movement that eventually could lead to something much bigger. And so it's important. I think it's important. One thing's for sure. Not trying and sitting back and not doing and allowing in silence all of this to happen, that's a crime. That we're not allowed to do. Because succeed or fail, win or lose, God will ask every one of us. Rosh Hashanah is coming up, the Jewish New Year, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. God will ask every one of us, what did you do? What did you do when these things were, when these great dangers were coming, when these great challenges were coming? What did you do? And I want everybody in JTF to be able to answer, we were active, we did everything we could, we tried, we spoke out, we fought the good fight. And hopefully, God willing, maybe we'll have an impact and we'll be able to change things for the good. You never know. We have to pray to Hashem, we have to pray to God for our success. Please pray for us. And we need your support. Help us with our Hebrew and English videos. Help promote them on Facebook and YouTube and everywhere else possible. Please promote these videos. And please become active on the great JTF news page that the great Shlomo has put together. It's a fantastic news page that we have. And of course, we need your financial support. The more money we have, the stronger we are, and the stronger we are, the more chance we have of reaching more people and getting our message across to more people and making a bigger difference. It is very important. We need your help. We need your generous support now more than ever. Checks, money orders, cash donations sent to the post office box. Every single donation helps. Every single donation helps. God bless the great JTFers that are helping and that are sending their support to the post office box. And those of you that instead of the regular mail, instead of sending it to the post office box, those of you who would prefer for convenience sake to do it online with a credit card, God bless you. That's to us, it's no difference. It doesn't matter if you do it with a credit card, or you do it through a check or a money order, cash donation to the post office box, or whether you want to do it through PayPal online. To us, it makes no difference. It makes no difference whatsoever. It helps. It helps either way. If you want to do it online, you just go to Hayamin.org. Hayamin.org is our Hebrew main page. You'll see the donate button on top. Click on the donate button, and in a couple of minutes, you can conveniently help us. You can conveniently help us. It's worthwhile doing, and it's a blessed act to help an organization that is fighting for the truth and telling a truth that no one else will tell. All right, let's get to our questions now from our great JTFers. One moment, I just have to swing over here to get to the questions. All right. I hope you can all hear me as well as you could hear me before. Okay, we start out with Yamach Shmoda Islam, who writes, and I quote, "Dear Chaim, your thoughts on the following dead people," and then there's a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You're going to see 5 dead people, and Yamach Shmoda Islam wants me to comment on these 5 people. Okay. Steve McNair. Well, Steve McNair, I think, probably a lot of JTFers probably have heard of him. He's a black football player who was killed by his black girlfriend. He was married, but he had an adulterous affair with this girl, and the girl that he was having adultery with shot him to death, killed him. This black girl that he was having an affair with, this black football player. And then Kurt Cobain. Kurt Cobain. Is it Cobain or Cobain? I think it's Cobain. Kurt Cobain. I mean, he's from the group Nirvana. He committed suicide at the age of 27. He was a heroin addict. He tried to commit suicide before. And at the age of 27, he finally succeeded and he shot himself to death and committed suicide. And then Patrick Swayze. Patrick Swayze is the famous actor that I think people who know anything about acting and movies and dancing and would be familiar with. Patrick Swayze was 57 years old. He died. He died of pancreatic cancer. He was a chain smoker. He smoked very heavily every day. To the day he died, even after he had been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, that was metastasizing and spread all over his body. To the very last day of his life, he continued chain smoking. And he admitted in an interview, he admitted that his chain smoking probably had something to do with his cancer. He admitted that. And then Gregory Hines. Gregory Hines was a black actor and singer. He also died at the age of 57 of liver cancer. Married to a white woman. Another example of the Hollywood entertainment industry people. He died of liver cancer. And finally, Bernie Mac. Bernie Mac was a black comedian. He died at the age of 50. He had a rare disease. I don't remember what the disease was, what the name of it was, and probably most of us would not even know what it means anyway, but he was 50 years old. He died of a rare disease. Look, I think people in the entertainment business are part of a decadent culture and are dragging America down and dragging Western civilization and Western culture down. And I think these people, all these people that we mentioned, these five people, all participated in that. And that's my opinion of these people. Thank you, Yimach Shmo to Islam. We go now to Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, I would like to wish you and your family a very happy new year, unquote. And Joe, I wish you and your loved ones a very happy new year, and all of our fellow JTFers, of course. And now Joe writes, what is the significance of fasting for Yom Kippur? Thanks, unquote. Okay. Tzom Yom Kippur, which means the fast of Yom Kippur, of the Day of Atonement. Yom Kippur, by the way, means Day of Atonement. It's the day of the year from the Bible. It's one of the commandments in the Bible when Jews are commanded to fast and are commanded to have a Shabbaton. In other words, all the rules of not doing things like, just like on the Jewish Sabbath, there are various things that you're not allowed to do on Yom Kippur because it is a Day of Atonement. Now, Joe Gutfeld is asking specifically on about the issue of fasting, because we're not allowed to eat or drink or put anything in our mouths. We're not allowed to eat or drink for about 25 hours. And he asks, what is the purpose of that? The purpose of that, first of all, is to remind us of our vulnerability and dependence on God. You know, when you don't eat for more than 24 hours, you realize how vulnerable you are. You realize how dependent you are. You realize that you're not such a high and mighty person. You know, it puts your ego in check and makes you understand that you're just a human being. You're just flesh and blood. And that with something as simple as a meal, without something as simple as a meal, what can happen to you? How it weakens you and how you desire to be able to eat. So it's very important to remind us of that. It's very important because it gives us a sense of humility. It makes us humble so that we can sincerely repent for the things we've done wrong. Because we have to repent on Yom Kippur. We say numerous prayers and we repent for the things that have been done wrong. And we've got to repent and repent sincerely and beg God to forgive us. And by the way, that doesn't mean we just say we're sorry and then go on and do it again. Repenting means you sincerely change your ways. You're regretful for what you did. And by the way, if you did something wrong to somebody else, if you sin between you and God, you ask God for forgiveness and you repent for your sins by asking God for forgiveness and promising not to do it again and really changing your ways. But if it's a sin that you committed against another person, Yom Kippur is not going to save you in that situation. You have to get the forgiveness of that person or make it up to that person. You have to make it up to them or get their forgiveness. Otherwise, you will be held accountable for the sin you committed against that person, because you're not, you didn't do anything to God. You hurt another person. So we fast in order to make us humble. It also cleans our thoughts, or it's supposed to. A person who has the right mentality, the right attitude on Yom Kippur, your mind is cleansed and your thoughts are cleansed. You're almost like an angel. You're not looking for the physical things and things like food and other physical things of this world. You're almost like an angel in that you've cleansed your mind and soul, and you think clean thoughts and you think proper thoughts. That's another purpose of the fasting. Thank you, Joe Gutfeld. We go now to Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, "Your opinion that the reason evangelical Christians are against a two-state solution is to have Israel to themselves when the alleged second coming arrives," unquote. Well, you know, of course evangelical Christians believe in Christianity, and they believe that the world is going to be Christian when the Messianic era comes. And we believe that we have a different view, naturally. We're Jews, and we believe that the Jews will be Jewish and that the Gentiles will be B'nai Noach, will be following the laws of Noach. Noach in Hebrew means Noah. So, you know, we have a different view as to what happens when the Messianic era finally comes and the world changes. We have a different view. We have some differences there, some theological differences. But Chicago Jew, you know, the fact is, let's give credit where credit is due. The evangelical Christians, many of the evangelical Christians, they genuinely support Israel. They love Israel. They support Israel. Some of them have their own motivations, of course. I mean, human beings, that's how human beings are. Human beings have different motivations. But they, you know, they want to support us. They want to help. And they really, really want Israel to succeed and want Israel to survive and want Israel to prosper. And they know that creating a so-called Palestine state would be suicide for Israel. So I think that that's something we should be applauding them for. Those that are against it, I think that's something we should be applauding them for. What's shocking to me is that so many Jews are in favor of Israel committing national suicide. That's the thing we should be concerned about. That's the thing we should be shocked over. Thank you, Chicago Jew. We go now to Guns N' Roses fan, who writes, and I quote, "Chaim, please discuss the following religions. Baha'i religion." Well, the Baha'is are a religion that was created in the 19th century in Persia. And the religion basically has various concepts of unity in the world, including unity of religion. Unity of religion, which is part of the Baha'i concept, is that all religions, all the major religions, come from God, and all the major religions are therefore valid and good and come from God. So they include Islam and Christianity and Judaism and Hinduism. They mix it all in and say all of them are good and all of them are the same, from the same God and the same source, even though those religions all contradict each other very dramatically. So, you know, that's the Baha'i religion. I mean, it's a religion that I certainly have a problem with because of that philosophy that all religions, including the Muslims and including all these other pagan faiths, all of them are coming from the same God and are all just as valid. Each one is just as valid. That's something that I think, in my opinion, is difficult to swallow. Guns N' Roses fan now asks about the Druze religion. Well, the Druze, that's another mixture. That's another religion with mixtures. You know, you have certain groups, breakaway groups, who decided, you know what? There are all these different religions. Let's mix them all together and say they're really all the same. And let's have one big happy family and we're all united, which is completely unrealistic. Anyway, the Druze, which are mostly Arabs, the Druze, they mix ancient Greek philosophy like Plato. They actually have that as part of their religion, their interpretation of Plato anyway. They mix that in with Hinduism and Islam and Christianity and Judaism, and they mix it all together, which I think is just a mishmash. In addition to that, the Druze support the strongest power. In other words, most of the Druze are in Syria, so they supported Hafez al-Assad, the dictator of Syria, and were very anti-Israel, very anti-Semitic, very pro Syria, very pro-Muslim in Syria. The same thing in Lebanon. Walid Jablat and the Druze movement in Lebanon, they murdered many Israeli soldiers, very anti-Israel. The Druze in Israel, on the other hand, support Israel. In other words, they support whoever is the power, whoever's the strongest power, they back the strongest power. Is that moral? I mean, is that a moral religion? Is that what a religion should teach us to do? We back whoever's strongest, no matter what they stand for? But that's what the Druze do. And then Guns N' Roses fan writes, Karaite Judaism. Okay. Let me just say here, the Karaites do not represent Judaism. It is not Judaism. That's their propaganda. It has nothing to do with Judaism in any way. In any way. There is no, you can't say you represent Judaism and then attack the Talmud and be against the Midrash and the Talmud and Torah Shebe'al Peh, the oral law. That's not Judaism. Most of Judaism is the oral law, not the Bible and not the Torah. Most of Judaism is the oral law, the Midrash, the Talmud. That's most of Judaism. Because we have 613 mitzvot. We have Tariag HaMitzvot, 613 commandments in the Torah. You cannot follow even one of the 613 commandments properly. You cannot follow even one of them based upon just reading the Torah. Not one of them. Because whether it's, when it says we have to have a mezuzah on our door, it doesn't specify what that means. It doesn't specify what's written. Without Talmudic Judaism, there's no way to know what that means to have a mezuzah on the door. There's no way to know what it means when it says we have to be Shomrei Shabbat. There's no way to know what it means when we talk about Kashrut, when we talk about the kosher dietary laws. I mean, the Bible and the Torah are not specific, are very deliberately very vague and just give us headlines. They do not in any way spell out in detail what we're actually supposed to do and what these commandments mean. You can't possibly know what the commandments mean just by reading the written law in the Torah, the first five books of Moses. You can't possibly know what any of the commandments mean. It's impossible. Not only that, you can't even read the Torah without the oral law. You cannot read the Torah, and you cannot read the Tanakh, you cannot read the Bible without the oral law. Because many of the words, this is a little hard to explain in Hebrew, but many of the words that are in the Tanakh and in the Talmud, there are no vowels, and it's written in a shortened version, so that a lot of these words, a lot of them can be multiple words. The words can be read multiple ways, and you have completely different meanings. In other words, if you read a word one way, it has one meaning. If you read it the other way, it has the opposite meaning, completely different meanings. And that's true for many words in the Torah and the Talmud. The Torah and the Tanakh. You cannot possibly understand what it says. You can't possibly read it properly unless you have the instruction that we have from the Talmud and from Midrash. If you don't have that, you cannot even read the Torah. You cannot even, the Bible is a closed book. The Bible in Hebrew, the Tanakh in Hebrew, is a closed book without the oral law. So the Karaites are a cult. It is not Judaism. It is a cult. It's a heretical cult. And they actually are anti-Semites, by the way. They worked against the Jewish people for many years. They became informers and snitches against the Jewish people because they resented real Jews, real Torah true Jews. And if you look at that at one point, a lot of Jews, unfortunately, had a lot of self-hating Jews that became Karaites. And so you had a period of time where a large percentage of the Jewish people were following this crazy cult. Where are they now? Now they almost don't exist. Now they're just a handful left. There were a couple of thousand left? I mean, it's just a joke. Because if you don't follow the Torah true way, you're going to assimilate, you're going to intermarry, assimilate, and disappear. Only Torah true Jews can go on from generation to generation and survive for thousands of years. Only Torah true Jews. all the other phony, fake, watered down, diluted forms of so-called Judaism, all the people that follow that, in the end, assimilate and disappear. All of them do in the end. And Guns N' Roses fan writes, and I quote, "Are polytheistic religions all satanic?" Unquote. Well, you know, let me put it to you this way. Polytheistic religions, religions that believe in more than one God, I don't think it's logical to believe in more than one God. It's just absolutely illogical. How can you believe in more than one God? If God is all-powerful, then there can't be more than one. There can only be one all-powerful being. There can only be one being that has all power and that knows everything and that is absolutely perfect. If you have two, then they're not all-powerful because one doesn't have power over the other. There can only be one God. You can't have more than one God. Otherwise, it's not God. Otherwise, you don't believe in God. Otherwise, you believe in various powers, but you don't believe in an all-powerful being. So polytheism, by its very definition, is illogical. There can only be one God, absolutely one indivisible God. Because otherwise, there's no perfect being, perfect all-powerful being in the universe, or that created the universe. Thank you, Guns N' Roses fan. We go now to Smash Islam, who writes, and I quote, "Thoughts. Orthodox Rabbi Ron Yosef, gay dates man, founder of HOD, Organization of Gay Orthodox," unquote. Well, of course, he's not an Orthodox rabbi, you know, a complete fraud. You can't be a rabbi. Even if you got smicha, let's say you got smicha and you pretended that you were Orthodox and they gave it to you, they gave you smicha. Smicha is the rabbinic ordination. So you get your rabbinic ordination and you're an Orthodox rabbi, and then all of a sudden you announce, you know what, I've decided I'm going to eat non-kosher food. That's the end of your being a rabbi. You're not a rabbi anymore when you do that. Or you said, you know what, I'm going to go out and commit adultery, or I'm going to go out and become a thief, or I'm going to go out and do something else that goes against Torah Judaism. You do that, then you're not an Orthodox rabbi. You're not a Torah Jew at all. You're not a Torah Jew anymore. And to have this individual who is committing abominations, it's in the Torah, it says that homosexuality is a toeva. Toeva means abomination. That's what God, the creator of the universe, defines it as. God says it is unnatural. God says that if someone stubbornly persists in doing this and doing it publicly, that they are to be stoned to death. That there's a death penalty for it. That's how serious it is in Judaism. God has destroyed entire nations because of this, entire civilizations because of this. And you have this piece of garbage, Ran Yosef, Shem Reshaim Yirkav, may the name of the wicked rot. You have this piece of garbage going around pretending to be an Orthodox rabbi and promoting this filth. He's the scum of the earth. He's vermin. And he's, not only is he himself committing a terrible sin, even worse, he's going out and encouraging other people. He's going out and trying to encourage as many people as possible to also engage in this sinful behavior. He's misleading people down the path to self-destruction. The lifestyle that he's promoting is a lifestyle of spiritual suicide. It is a lifestyle that forecloses your place in the next world. You'll have no eternal life. The door will be closed to you, to all the wonderful things that are yet to come, all of our lives. Our life is a test. If we pass the test, we get eternal life. Way beyond anything we can imagine. Something so wonderful, it's way beyond anything we can imagine. And if you go against the Torah way, you lose all of that. And he's encouraging and inciting people to do this and trying to get as many people as possible to be involved in this evil lifestyle that Hashem despises. It's just pure evil. If he has a problem, if he has this mental problem, what he should have done is try to cure himself and go to experts who could cure him, psychiatrists and religious psychiatrists and rabbis who could cure him. If he can't get cured, then in the very least, he shouldn't engage in the sinful behavior. Because if someone can't cure themselves, then at the very least, they should abstain from the sinful behavior. That they certainly can do. They have free will. They certainly can do that. But he not only doesn't do any of that, he engages in all the sinful behavior and encourages everybody else that he could find to legitimize this and make them engage in the sinful behavior, and tries to say that Judaism allows this. He's an abomination. Not only is the evil lifestyle he promotes an abomination, but he is an abomination. May Hashem take him away from us. And now, Smish Islam writes, Sam Harris asks about Sam Harris. Sam Harris is this is another product of intermarriage. This is the tragedy we have when we have intermarriage. Sam Harris is the head of what something called New Atheism. He runs around preaching atheism, attacking all religion, very anti-religious fanatic. His father was a Jew-hating Quaker. The Quakers are very anti-Semitic, very anti-Jewish, completely against Israel. They worked to destroy Israel. His father was a Jew-hating Quaker, and his mother was a Jew, was a self-hating Jew who intermarried. And so this is the product. This is what comes out. Sam Harris, who spends his time now knocks all the religions. He does attack Islam, that's true. But he calls for the destruction of Israel. He says he's against the existence of a Jewish state. He doesn't call for the destruction of the 66 Muslim states. So look at the ugly anti-Semitism. Look at the ugly behavior of this disgusting creature. And he is, by the way, halachically, he's Jewish because his mother is Jewish. The mother is the deciding factor here. Even though his mother doesn't consider herself to be Jewish, she's under Jewish law. She's a Jewish woman. She intermarried, but she gave birth to this Semitic fungus. And this Semitic fungus now goes around preaching anti-Semitism and saying that the Jewish state doesn't have a right to exist. Smash Islam now writes, Donald Trump kicking Mexican journalists out. Okay. Well, yeah, of course. I mean, he did, you know, that journalist was jumping up and down and disrupting Trump's press conference, and Trump did have him removed from the press conference. Very good. Wonderful. Then he invited him back. But he invited him back into the press conference, which wasn't so wonderful. He shouldn't have done that. His name is Jorge Ramos, I think Jorge Ramos, if I remember correctly. And we actually did, you know, we showed him interviewing Ted Cruz. And Ted Cruz was great. We did a video, if you recall, saying Ted Cruz refuses to kiss Jorge Ramos's culo. Culo means tuchus. It means his behind. And you see Ted Cruz saying, I'm against a pathway to citizenship and not bending and not giving in. It was great. It was just great, that interview. But anyway, look, Donald Trump, there are things Donald Trump does. There may be things Donald Trump does that we like. There may be things he does that we like. But overall, he's not a real conservative. And he doesn't have the principles that are necessary. And he's very bad on Iran, which is very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. His position on Iran creates the danger of a nuclear holocaust. And so, you know, he is not the candidate for us. He is not the candidate for us. Thank you, Smash Islam. We go now to Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, 1, what do you think of President McKinley? 2, discuss his assassination, unquote. I don't know that much about him. He was a president who was president in the turn of the century, and he was assassinated by a Polish immigrant. I don't know that much about him. I don't know that much about whether he was good or bad. I don't know. I know that his successor, Teddy Roosevelt, was terrible. His successor, Teddy Roosevelt, was someone who called himself progressive and ran on the Bull Moose Party and was a leftist. And eventually, from Teddy Roosevelt came his nephew, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, Shem Reshaim Yirkav, may his name and memory be obliterated, may the name of the wicked rot, who was responsible for the murder of 6 million Jews during the Holocaust. So, certainly, you know, the fact that Teddy Roosevelt became president, and that might have led eventually to the Roosevelts becoming so famous and FDR eventually becoming president later on, you know, that obviously was bad. That obviously was bad. But McKinley himself, I don't really know much about whether his policies were good or bad. I don't know. I just don't know enough. Binyamin now writes, 3, discuss Barack Hussein Obama's visit to Alaska and global warming. Well, you know, he visited Alaska, and he said, look at this. The ice glaciers are melting. Well, he visited in August, and he's wondering why the ice glaciers are melting. I think in August, that's usually what happens. Isn't that what happens in August? Don't the ice glaciers... Doesn't ice usually melt in August? I mean, it was so absurd. It's so pathetic. It's so absurd. And then and then Benjamin writes, four, what do you think of Barack Hussein Obama wanting to rename Mount McKinley to the Eskimo name Denali, even though there already is a Denali National Park? That park is on the Alaska quarter of the current quarter series, unquote. I don't think Obama has the right to rename Mount McKinley. I don't think he has the right to do it. Obama acts like he's an emperor. He acts like he's the king. I don't think he has a right to do any of those things. He makes these unilateral decisions like he's a dictator. And he's acting like a dictator, and because he's black, nobody is allowed to challenge him, because then they say you're a racist. He gets away with things like this. It's incredible. We no longer have a country of laws and three branches of government. We have Obama's a dictator, and the nine judges on the Supreme Court are dictators. And, you know, we no longer have representative government in America. Thank you, Benjamin. And we go now to Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, compare Trump and Newt Gingrich in 2012, two blowhard phonies who became popular for stating a very politically incorrect truth, unquote. Well, I think you hit it right on the head. They are blowhard phonies. Neither one of them is a real conservative. Both of them good friends with Al Sharpton, by the way. But we haven't even started to expose Donald Trump with Al Sharpton. But both Newt Gingrich and Donald Trump, good friends with the racist and the Jew-hater Al Sharpton. And, both pretending to be politically incorrect people fighting against the establishment. You know, they did have some similarity in terms of the shtick they used. That's true. Unfortunately, Trump seems to be more skilled than Gingrich was. So unfortunately, in Trump's case, he seems to be doing this in a more skillful way, and that's something that's not good at all, because right now he is the favorite to win the Republican nomination for president, and that would not be good at all. So let's hope something happens to stop him. And now Lewinsky Stinks writes, compare the pro-Muzzi Carly Fiorina with Michelle Bachmann. Are there any similarities at all? Unquote. Aside from the fact that they're both women, no. There are no similarities. Michelle Bachmann is an evangelical Christian and a righteous person who genuinely, strongly supports Israel and sincerely supports Israel. And I think she would have been a good president. I think she would have been a good president. I like Michelle Bachmann. Unfortunately, she was stamped out of the race when she ran 4 years ago. The establishment got rid of her. But I think she's actually a good person. Now, you're right about Carly Fiorina. She is pro-Muslim. She's just such a disaster. I mean, if she becomes a serious threat, we'll expose her. You know, she did issue that statement after 9/11. She was defending Islam and talking about the beauty of the Islamic civilization and defending the Muslims and Islam. Oh, she is horribly disgusting. And she's a complete sellout on every issue, complete phony, not conservative on anything. And she was a disaster as the CEO of Hewlett-Packard. She was a disaster. Yeah, the stock prices went down 50% when she was the CEO. I mean, her stock prices went down 50%. How could you get worse than that? Pushed her out. They forced her out because she was going to drive the company into bankruptcy the way she was mismanaging everything. Now she's running for president and they're saying, oh, she debates. I like the way... And I saw the debate, by the way, that she participated in. I didn't think she was good at all. I think that they want to promote her. They give her more attention than they give the great Ted Cruz. It's just the media, the biased news media. So you know that she works with the establishment if they're giving her all the attention and they're ignoring the great Ted Cruz. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. We go now to Hiram, who writes, and I quote, Shalom, thoughts on Putin displaying Tsar H-bomb replica in front of Kremlin, unquote. Oh, the Tsar H-bomb is supposed to be the biggest and most powerful bomb, nuclear bomb or hydrogen bomb that has ever been created, because it was a giant, giant, giant bomb. And Putin is now, he created a replica of this, for those of you who don't know, the Russian dictator Vladimir Putin, he created a replica and he's putting it in front of the Kremlin. I mean, it's so obvious what he's trying to say. He's trying to intimidate the world. He's trying to show how tough he is, and he's trying to intimidate the world. You know, this is something that Putin does. Putin tries to intimidate people, and that's what dictators do. And unfortunately, though, if you allow him to get away with what he wants to do, he will go in and he will invade countries, and he will help Iran build nuclear bombs, which is what he's doing, and do all the other mischief that he's doing. There's no question about that. And the fact that he has all these nuclear bombs, he does have real nuclear bombs at his disposal, is something that should be a concern to us. Hiram now writes, and I quote, FSB links to Muslim Nazis, unquote. Okay. The FSB, for those of you who don't know, is the new name for the KGB. It's the same old KGB, but they gave it a new name because they don't want the name from the Soviet communist days. So they gave it a new name. But it's the same exact thing. You know, it's Russian intelligence, the same murderous tactics that the KGB used. And they are certainly linked to Muslim Nazis. They're linked to numerous Muslim terrorist organizations. And they do everything they can to help promote all the enemies of America and Israel. Hiram now writes, what were Rabbi Kahana's Zatzal favorite jokes, unquote. Rabbi Kahana had a great sense of humor. He had a fantastic sense of humor. I could give you one joke that we have used from Rabbi Kahana. You know, the Jews, when they came out of Egypt, they worshipped the golden calf. And that was the great sin of the golden calf. So Rabbi Kahana, when referring to Golda Meir, who was then the Prime Minister of Israel, said, the Jews, when they came out of Egypt, worshipped the golden calf. The golden calf. American Jews had the golden calf. I already ruined the joke, unfortunately. I stepped on the punchline. But he said, instead of the golden calf, American Jews had the golden calf. I mean, it's just, he would throw these lines out and say it in a way which was just hilarious. He had perfect timing, and he was very, very humorous, very, very funny. Just aside from the fact that he was a very powerful speaker and a great Talmid Chacham, a great Talmudic and Torah scholar, aside from the, and a great courageous leader and great rabbi, aside from all of that, he was also genuinely very funny and very entertaining when he spoke. Thank you, Hiram. We go now to Uncle Bourbon, who writes, and I quote, one, Nazism has homosexual roots. How can we educate more people about this, unquote? That's very, very true. Ernst Röhm and the SS were all homosexuals. They were open homosexuals. And this is in the 1920s and 1930s in Germany, in Weimar Germany, and then in the 1930s when Hitler and the Nazis first took power in Germany. Ernst Röhm and the SS were literally open homosexuals. And there's no question about it that many, many of the leading Nazis were homosexuals. Very, very true. Very, very true. And of course, the homosexual, agenda people want to hide this. They don't want us to know about this. And if you bring it up, they call it homophobia. Well, it's a historical fact. It's a historical fact. Homosexuals played a huge role in bringing the Nazis to power and in making the Holocaust possible in Germany. And it is something that should be brought up and educated, and people should be educated about. I agree with you, Uncle Bourbon. I hope that we become a bigger movement and that we're and reach more people and that we are able someday to bring that to people's attention, because what you're saying is absolutely correct, absolutely true. Uncle Bourbon now writes, two, discuss Kim Davis, unquote. Kim Davis is the Kentucky County Clerk. Kentucky court clerk who was refusing to give marriage licenses to sodomite couples, to homosexual couples. She is a heroic figure. And we're going to be, you know, we support her, and we're going to be supporting her. We're going to be doing videos, God willing. I hope we'll be doing videos supporting her. She should know that it's not just evangelical Christians that back her, that Orthodox Jews have to back her as well. She is a heroic figure, and she sets an example for all of us. And if we're not going to be willing to engage in civil disobedience and to oppose the oppressive actions of this Supreme Court, this evil, tyrannical Supreme Court, and the evil Obama administration, and the evil Republican establishment that goes along with these things, if we're not going to oppose this, then America will be destroyed and Western civilization will be destroyed. And by the way, shame! Shame on Donald Trump and all the other Republican candidates who stab Kim Davis in the back. She's sitting in prison now because she's refusing to issue marriage licenses to these homosexual couples. And Donald Trump says that she should have issued the licenses and he doesn't support her, and that she should do what the Supreme Court tells her to do. The Supreme Court has no right to dictate law and legislate from the bench. The Constitution does not give them the right to do that. 9 unelected lawyers have no right to do that. And Donald Trump says we have to do whatever the court... Donald Trump says whatever the Supreme Court says is the law of the land. The law of the land is the law of the land, and there's nothing you can do. That's what he said on MSNBC. Thankfully, our candidate, Ted Cruz, has said that he supports Kim Davis unequivocally. And he backs her, and he's going to support her and do everything he can to help her. And so at least our candidate has taken a good position on this issue. Thank God. Thank you, Uncle Bourbon. And we go now to Surgical Jew, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, India never persecuted Jews, even provided safe refuge for them during the exile. So why is India in such a mess? The Muslims, British," unquote. Well, you know, they didn't come across a large number of Jews. There were very few Jews in India historically. What, a few thousand Jews in a country that has well over a billion people. So they've never really encountered a large Jewish presence in India. I understand what you're saying. You're saying if India, just because a country that never really came in contact with large numbers of Jews, never persecuted the Jews, that doesn't mean the country is insured success. It will be guaranteed success if everything else they're doing is a mess. If everything else they're doing is a mess, if they're not educating their people, if they have a caste system that creates all types of problems in India. I don't know if our JTFers are familiar with the caste system in India, but it's a system that creates serious economic and social problems. And if they and if they do have a country with many Muslims, and if they were under the control of the British and colonial control, and all these other situations that have existed, of course you're going to have problems. And they're also very, very overpopulated, very overcrowded. They have like 1.2 billion Indians. India is one-third the size of the continental United States. Continental United States means the 48 states, not including Alaska and Hawaii. India is maybe one-third the size of the United States in area. And there in the north, you've got the Himalayan mountains, and you've got desert, and you've got large parts of India that are not really habitable. And all of these people are jam-packed into 1.2 billion people are jam-packed into this country. They're very, very overpopulated. And so you have serious problems. That's going to create some serious problems. Thank you, Surgical Jew. Kalman Ben Menachem writes, and I quote, "Reb Chaim, 340 conservative and reform rabbis," quote unquote, "sent a letter to Congress supporting Obama's Iran deal. Your thoughts, thank you," unquote. You know, my poor mother, who is such a saintly, wonderful woman, she had a big tumor on her arm. Thank God, so far, she's still cancer-free. May my mother be cancer-free forever. May she live a healthy, wonderful life and never have cancer again. May these pseudo-rabbis who want to stab Israel in the back and want Israel to face an Iran with hundreds of nuclear bombs because they want to kiss Obama's Schwarze Tuchus, may these filthy, self-hating scum pseudo-rabbis, may they get what my mother had on her arm, except it should be all over their body. Yamach shmam v'zichram shem reshaim yirkav. Which means, may their names and memories be obliterated, may the name of the wicked rot. These filthy traitors. They want Israel to face this nuclear Auschwitz. These filthy pigs. They're the lowest scum of the earth. They're actively supporting this? Actively supporting it. Just like all the Jewish Democrats in Congress, almost all the Jewish Democrats in Congress, with just the three or four exceptions, are all endorsing the agreement. Yamach shmam v'zichram shem reshaim yirkav. That's like shoving millions of Jews into ovens and gas chambers. They're no different from the Judenrat and the Kapos in Europe who helped the Germans. These were Jews who helped the Germans shove their fellow Jews into the gas chambers and the ovens. And they want to do it on a massive scale with nuclear bombs. Thank you, Kalman. And we go now to Black Sabbath, who writes, and I quote, 1. Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Louis Farrakhan, Barack Hussein Obama, list in order of evilness, please, unquote. Oh, there, you know, I can't, I don't want to list it in order of evilness, and I'll tell you why. Because that's saying one is less evil than the other. They are all equally the most evil black Nazi filth you can imagine. Obama's trying to destroy Israel in every way possible. Farrakhan, of course, praised Hitler. Sharpton and Jackson, vicious Jew-hating scum, anti-white, anti-American, anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, the lowest of the low, all four of them. All four of them. I would say they're all tied, and they're all going to the same place. Black Sabbath now writes, 2. Discuss Angela Marxist, German Prime Minister. Okay. Well, you know, she's another one who... Oh, she's such a phony. She's so disgusting. She's another one who, like Hillary Clinton, she screamed at Netanyahu. She screams at him. She screams at him not to allow any settlements, and he gives in. He freezes all the settlements. All the Jewish settlements. She wants Israel to commit suicide so badly, like all the other German politicians and German leaders. She's a German Jew hater who hasn't changed since the days of the Holocaust. She hasn't changed, except she wants the Arab Muslims to do the dirty work for her now. She doesn't want Germany to go in and carry out the Holocaust. She doesn't want to hurt Germany's economy, and the Germans don't want to get their hands dirty doing it. So they and the other European Union Jew haters, they want the Muslims now to do their dirty work for them, so they're doing everything they can to destroy Israel. The Germans fund all the left-wing Israeli organizations that are working to destroy Israel from within. They all are funded by Germans, by German money. The Germans are doing everything they can to destroy Israel and to hurt Israel. Everything they can. And she's part of that. So I think it's hilarious to see what's going on now. They love the Muslims so much. I hope they enjoy the Muslims that are coming in, all the Muslim so-called refugees. They're going to be in for quite an interesting rude awakening in the future, welcoming all these people into Germany. Thank you, Black Sabbath. We go now to Harel 156, who writes, and I quote, "Who are these rebels, quote-unquote, against Assad? What would any country, particularly USA, do if rebels rose against it?" Unquote. Well, you know, look, all the sides in Syria are bad. All of them. The so-called rebels are aligned with Al-Qaeda. And they're aligned with the Islamic State. And then Assad and is with Hezbollah. He's with Hezbollah and he's with Iran. So all of them are horrible, vicious, hateful people. All of them. You don't... When Arabs and Muslims are killing each other, you sit back and let them do what they're doing. You do not interfere. You do not go in and intervene. That is what should be done in Syria. That's what the policy should be in Syria. Thank you, Harel. We go now to Maimonides, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what do you think about the charity organization Mesamchei Lev and the concept of Yeshuat HaChaim Skula, unquote? Well, I'm not familiar with the charity organization Mesamchei Lev, Maimonides. I have no idea. I'm sorry. I never heard of the organization. I'm not familiar with them, so I just can't comment. I apologize for that. The concept of Yeshuat HaChaim Skula, that means saving lives is a noble thing. Obviously, I think that's a good concept. Obviously, that's a very Jewish concept. No question about that. Thank you, Maimonides, and I want to thank everybody for another program that I very much enjoyed doing. Until next week, Shalom.